Amen. Well, Mike, is that how you envisioned all that? Where'd Mike go? There he is.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We, the Shepherd's Ministry started practicing that, as Mike said, and I got to practice with them, and I got excited about it and thought, you know, we need to just add people in, because that's our church. And that's what we want. We want all the glory to go to Jesus. Why don't you turn the folks in the wheelchairs around? Can you do that so they can kind of face this way? I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 23. My buddy Tom recited Psalm 23 and did it absolutely perfectly. And I'm so proud of him. And when I saw that he was going to do that, and I had shepherd's workers tell me that he does it flawlessly, I thought, you know, I cannot think of a better passage to talk to you about this morning. And I'm not going to be real long. We all smell the food cooking. And that is always a disadvantage for the preacher. I mean, anytime we're having a fellowship or anything and there's food cooking downstairs, it all comes right up here. And it's a disadvantage. So I want you to listen carefully, though, for the next few minutes as we look at the shepherd psalm. The Psalm 23, and Tom recited it so well, but I want to read it again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. And thank you so much for the program that we've had. And it's all led to this moment, Lord, so that we can hear the precious words of God. And Lord, we can think about our own lives. And I pray that if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, they don't have you as their shepherd, I pray that today would be the day they would trust you and they would be saved. And Lord, help us as Christians, so many here are already saved, God, help us to recognize you are our shepherd. And thank you for being our shepherd. Bless now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the saddest things, I think, in reference to Psalm 23 is we only read that at funerals. You know, most of the time, that's the only time we hear Psalm 23. Is it a funeral? And most of you, you're thinking, perhaps as Tom was reciting Psalm 23, or maybe as I read it a while ago, you're thinking, oh, I remember they read that at Grandma's funeral or Grandpa's funeral or some loved one or something. And it's sad that that's always the connotation with Psalm 23, because in reality, Psalm 23 ought to be a daily reminder to us of the Lord being our shepherd. In fact, all of Psalm 23 is for today. It's for the present, except the very last. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so as I think about Psalm 23, I think the Lord is, right now, he is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. I ask you this question. Is he your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Do you realize most of our folks in our shepherd's ministry have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior? Many of them I've baptized right back here in our baptistry. And what a wonderful time that is. But they have asked Jesus to come into their heart and save them to be their shepherd. Is he your shepherd today? I mean, I'll be honest with you. We have things like this to get all kinds of visitors in. We try to, so that we can tell you about Jesus. I mean, we want to honor the shepherd's ministry. We want our folks in our church to see it. But the truth is, I mean, we also want to bring folks in to tell them about Jesus. Because we're so glad that he's our shepherd. We're so excited about the fact that he is our shepherd. Let me ask you, is he your shepherd today? Is he your shepherd? Are you his today? Have you trusted him as your Savior? The Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, all we, that's talking about mankind, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And we've kind of done our own thing. And we've gone astray doing that. You know, that's just like sheep. Sheep are very dumb animals. They really are. They'll have a pasture of grass to graze on, and they'll walk away from that thinking it might be better somewhere. They'll literally walk off a cliff if they're not careful. They'll walk into all kinds of trouble. They'll walk away from those that are guarding them and protecting them, and they'll go off on their own because they're sheep. And God says in Isaiah, we're like that. We're just like that. We kind of go our own way. And we get away from the shepherd. We get away from the truth of the Word of God. And we go our own way. And the truth of the matter is, every person in this room needs a shepherd. Everybody in this room needs the Lord Jesus Christ to be their shepherd. And I'm going to tell you why. And we don't need Him just at funerals. No. We need Him every day. Every day we need Him. And I just want to show you why, because of all the things that the shepherd does for us, the Lord Jesus. Number one, we see His provision. In verse 1 here, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Notice what it says, I shall not want. Now, I don't know about you, I like that. I really like that. I mean, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Look over at Isaiah 40, verse 11 real quick. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. I shall not want. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. That's my shepherd. That's Jesus. I mean, He says, I will provide for you. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your needs. All your needs. He takes care of us. I shall not want. Verse 2, it says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, for a sheep, that's perfect. There isn't any better place to be if you're a sheep. A green pasture. It says, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Not a raging river, but a still water where you can stop and get a drink. He provides our needs. Hey, is He your shepherd today? Is He your shepherd? Have you asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Sheep, again, they have their own mind at times, just like us. I like this verse. It says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He knows what's best for me. He knows what's best. And when He provides for me, when He takes care of me, He knows that sometimes I need to be laid down in a green pasture. I need to be, because I'm wanting to wander off here and get off where there is no green grass, where there is no food to eat. I'm wanting to kind of do my own thing. Yeah, but He knows what I really need. He knows what you need too. What a blessing that the shepherd gives us provision. He provides for us. We see the shepherd's provision. Number two, we see His pardon. And I love this. In verse 3, it says, He restoreth my soul. You know, because sheep wander, they many times get in the mud and the mire of the world. And the shepherd will restore them. Well, that's so good. And I really like that because being like a sheep, sometimes I get in some mud and mire too. And I have over the years, many times. Kind of gone off on my own and done my own thing and what I thought was best. You know, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And it's amazing how maybe you're sitting here and you've kind of led that kind of life where you just do your own thing and don't really pay attention to what God says. Hey, there's a shepherd named Jesus. He'd like to provide for you, and He would also like to pardon you. Isn't it wonderful that He can clean us up? Isn't it great that even though I've been saved for many, many years, sometimes I get away and in my mind I'm discouraged or I doubt Him a little bit. But isn't it wonderful that when those days happen, He restoreth my soul? Amen. He's always right there to restore my soul. I'm reminded of our dog Scout many years ago. He liked to run around. I mean, he wanted to run away, and we did everything we could to keep him at home. He had food there, he had water there, he had a home there. I mean, he had everything he could possibly want there, but he always wanted to run off. And I remember one time he took off it was a long time. In fact, I thought it was over. I mean, I thought he's gone. He's been hit by a car or something like that. And and it was real late one night, and we were gone, and we had come home, and it was late in the night, and we came home, and we got there in our little kitchen area, and sure enough, it'd been over a week, and there he was on the back porch, and I mean, he was beat up and bloodied and muddy and dirty, and I mean, he had, who knows where all he'd been. I mean, I wish he could have talked. I'd love to have known his story. But, you know, immediately my wife and daughter, they open up the door and he's got mud all over him. And, oh, you're back, you know, and they're hugging him and all this. I'm not quite in the hugging mood. But but you know what? As I looked at him and he's all bloody. He's who knows where all he had been and burrs and everything and mud and all that. I thought, you know, that's how I come to God sometimes. You know, sometimes I get off and sometimes we tend to get away from the Lord and we get all dirty and messed. But you know what? He's always there. He's always there. He restoreth my soul. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. One of the great truths of the Scripture, He gives you a new life at salvation. But as a Christian, well, preacher, you don't understand. I've let him down. I've disappointed him. Oh, we all have. But he's always there to take you right back. He restoreth my soul. I'll tell you, his pardon is one of the greatest things, and it amazes me. And then not only does he restore our soul, but in pardoning me, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And you know, that's always his direction. It's a path of righteousness. It's always where he wants to. See, that's where we have problems as sheep. Because we don't always want to go in that direction. We kind of want to get, right? We want to get off on our own sometimes. His path is righteousness. And we, you know, we look at righteousness. We look at all the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots. And sometimes we say, well, you know, I could have a lot more fun with some of these thou shalt nots. But you know what? His path is always a path of righteousness and doing right. One of my favorite sayings, and I say this all the time, our teenagers, they hear me say this over and over and over. They'll come in for deep counsel, and I say, you know what you really need to do? Just do right. Just do right. You know, Bob Jones Sr., do right till the stars fall. And really, there isn't any better theology that I could give you today. Just do right. Because the shepherd's path, it's always righteousness. Just doing right. Do what the Bible says. Do what God says. But if I get off, and by the way, the best place, obviously, are those green pastures. The best place is beside that still water. But if we do get away, thank God, He restoreth my soul. We stray, He pardons. His provision is pardon. The third thing I see is His protection. And that is found in verse 4. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. His protection. Look again over to Isaiah 43. And this is a favorite verse for many, many people. Isaiah 43 and verse 2, it says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. His protection. You know, the shepherd is, I mean, he's going to protect the sheep. That's his job. God protects us so much. You say, well, preacher, this is talking about walking through that valley of the shadow of death. Let me just say this. It's just a valley. I mean, that's all it is just a valley. That's all. Wait a minute. Let me say this. It's just a shadow. You know, one of the good things about shadow boxing, you can't get hit. It's just a shadow. I love this verse, and again, I'm one that I've read this at many funerals, but I always kind of chuckle when I get to this valley of the shadow of death. That, by the way, that's for today. That's for now. Because the truth of the matter is, since you were born, that shadow of death has been hanging over you ever since first day you were born. Oh yeah, death, that's coming. As it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. I mean, that shadow, I mean, oh, look at the little baby. And there's a shadow of death because that little baby is going to die someday. I mean, it's from the day you're born, there's that shadow of death. And you say, oh, I'm getting nervous about that thing. Well, you don't have to be. It's just a shadow. Just a shadow. You know, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, that shadow has no power over you. If you've never done that, then according to the Scripture, it's appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment, then you will have to face God for your judgment. See, Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for you, so you wouldn't have to pay that price in a place called hell. What a wonderful thing that is. And His protection is protecting me from the valley. Oh, I go through valleys all the time. Don't believe anyone who tells you Christians don't ever go through valleys. That's on the path. Yeah, I know we all like the mountaintops, don't we? But you know what? If you ever really look at mountains, there's not a whole lot of flowers up there. There's not a whole lot blooming up on the mountaintop. It's kind of barren. We like it, mountaintops of life. But you know what? It's down in those valleys when God becomes so special and so precious to us. Down in those valleys is where we find out how much He really loves us. It's down in those valleys when I've felt His arms around me and I've known His comfort. It's in those valleys that we grow as a Christian. And I'm telling you, He protects us. Why? Because He's with us in that valley. For Thou art with me. Guess what He has? His rod and His staff. You know, for the shepherd, the lion, the bear, the animals that would take the sheep, that rod and that staff, those sheep could look at that and know, hey, everything's all right. And you know, I look at my Lord and I know everything's all right. Because it is all right. And I get comfort from that. And His protection is so real. The fourth thing I see here is His peace. And in verse 5 it says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. His peace. Look, if you will, at Psalm 3. Psalms 3. And this is such a good point, and I love this. I love talking about the peace that passeth all understanding. The Psalms, chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Now, I want you to get that in your mind, all right, all these 10,000. Do you maybe have 10,000 enemies? No, become a pastor. No, just kidding. But You know what this says? And verse 5 is just such a good verse. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. So here's all your enemies surrounding you, all right? I want you to try to imagine this. And here you are, and here's all these enemies. And I mean, they're not, you know, enemies don't usually look at you like, hi. They're like this. Right? That's, yeah, that's the way the devil is, right? Oh, yeah. See, and you know, enemies there. And so they're all around and they've got weapons and boy, they're after you. And then here comes the Lord. And here he says, son, have a seat. I say, Lord, don't you, I mean, there's bad guys all around. I mean, they're out to get me. He says, it's all right. Just have a seat. It's okay. It's all right. Here, son, let me put this napkin around, because you do tend to get stuff on your ties. And that's why I always have patterned ties. And here, I'd like you to have this. And here, I'd like you to, here's your plate. And here's a knife and a foot. No, don't stab people. It's okay. And they're all around and they're foaming at the mouth. I get him. And Lord says, could you be quiet, please? My son's about to eat. See, I like that. They're all gathered around, ready to, you know, they're ready to jump on you. But you know what? The Lord is preparing a table in their presence. And He's feeding me in their presence. I don't want you to eat. I don't want you to enjoy that. I don't want you to drink that drink. Lord says, could you be quiet? Just be quiet. My son would like to feast for a while. Could you just quiet down there, 10,000? Quiet down. Be quiet. Let my son eat. I love that. Now that's peace. That's a peace that passeth all understanding, preparing a feast in the midst of your enemies. The enemies are all around, but you know everything's all right because the Lord is right there. And they can't do anything to you without His permission. Amen. I love that. His peace. the peace that he gives. Think about that next time you hear that verse. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The fifth thing I see here is his pleasure. Did you know he wants us to have fun? See, the shepherd's ministry, they have fun. I like preaching to them. We have a good time, don't we?
Yeah.
And we have vacation Bible school with our shepherds, and we have a lot of fun, honestly. We do. And you know, they're not afraid to laugh. You know, they don't have to have a cue card. Laugh here. Okay, they just laugh. Sometimes they don't have to have a cue card to speak. They'll just talk. But don't you do that, though. But we just have a good time. And I think that's what the Lord wants us to have. You know, when we all sang a little while ago, you got just a little glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. I mean, it's just a little peek at what heaven's going to be like. God wants us to have pleasure and joy. In fact, he says, thou anointest my head with oil. And oil always represents gladness and joy in the Bible. Thou anointest my head with oil. And he says this, he says, my cup runneth over. Not just full, but it runs over. Now I'm going to tell you, that's what you could have if you'd be saved today. If you would trust Jesus Christ, if you've never done that before and you're not a Christian, you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins and save you. You know what? You can do that today and you can understand what I'm talking about. This joy, this gladness, this pleasure of your cup not just being full, but running over. And I'm telling you, Christian, if you're here and you're saved today and you don't know what that is, you're missing out. Maybe you've kind of been wandering away from your shepherd. Because I tell you, if you stay with him on that path of righteousness, my cup runneth over. It goes on and it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Every now and then I'll run into somebody who says, well, you know, I got saved years ago, but I've been, you know, every time I do something wrong, I'm afraid God's going to squash me like a bug. And I say, you know what? You need to get a hold of surely goodness and mercy. Thank God for His mercy. Oh, I deserve to be squashed like a bug. But you know what? His mercy endureth forever and ever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I like that word, surely. That means nothing's going to change it. Goodness and mercy. Hey, Christian, why don't you tell your face everything's okay? Amen. And smile a little bit. You know, why don't you tell your rejoicer it's okay to rejoice. And tell your praiser it's all right to praise. Because goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days. That means in that valley. That means during that trial. That means at the hospital. Goodness and mercy. Surely all the days of my life. You know, that started when I trusted Christ as my Savior. I've seen it. I've known it. God's so good. His goodness and His mercy. And then the last thing I want you to see is number six here, and that's His promise. You know, if you have the Lord as your shepherd, He gives you a promise here. And the psalmist tells us exactly what it is. This is the one future thing. He says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. They would call that the big house. Now, I'm not talking about Michigan Stadium. I'm talking about what the slaves down south would have said many. We can go stay in the big house. I got news for you. One of these days, we're going to be in God's house. And in my Father's house are many mansions. Somebody said, well, if I just have a little cabin in the court. Forget the cabin, man. I got a mansion. Don't change the scripture. God calls it a mansion. I'm talking big pillars. Amen. Seriously, streets are gold. So what do you suppose your mansion's made out of? I don't know, but I'm excited about it. And it doesn't really matter what it's worth because we're not going to need anything because He takes care of everything. But I'm just saying this. That's His promise. And in my mind, as I read the 23rd Psalm and as Tom was reciting it so well a while ago, I thought, all this and heaven too. That's how we can shout, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's how we can be excited. Because all this, God takes care of me today. God provides for me today. God protects me today. God has pardoned me and He continues to pardon me day after day. God has given me peace today. He doesn't eliminate the enemy. He just feeds me in front of the enemy and cares for me in front of the enemy. His pleasure that He gives today, now. And then the promise that one of these days I get to go to heaven. There is nothing greater. I ask you again, is He your shepherd? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? Have you asked Him to come into your heart? The Bible says we're all sinners. We already talked about all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We're all sinners. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says, in a place called hell. That's the price. If you were to pay the price for your sin, if I were to pay the price for my sin, it would be to go to hell for all eternity when I die. But Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay that for every person. He died on the cross to pay that debt completely for you, for me. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That's why. I can't figure that out. It's just He loved us. He loves you. And He died for you. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can be saved today. That's one of the reasons we have the services that we have. You can be saved today. Is He your shepherd? John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And Jesus is that shepherd. He gave his life so that you could be saved. If you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, in just a moment we're going to give an invitation. You'll have an opportunity to come. Someone will take a Bible and show you how to be saved. They'll show you how to know for sure you're going to heaven as well as most of the folks here. But also you'll have a shepherd. A shepherd that will take care of you, that will provide for you. He'll pardon you. He'll protect you. He will give you His peace, His pleasure, and all that wonderful promise that someday, because we all die, someday you'll be in heaven with Him for all eternity. Let's all bow our heads, please.